Greetings, welcome, bienvenidos, hola, aloha, ni hao, namaste, konnichiwa, bonjour, buongiorno, sawadee korup, guten tag, ciao, weevi, va, cat, bang, half a day, jai, janendra, salam, shalom, peace, now, go vegan, peace, how, go vegan. From the left coast of the unlabeled, genetically mutated McNugget pharmaceutical vivisection prison killitary industrial corporation in the cheese-covered post-constitutional bankster bankrupt corruptocracy mocracy criminocracy of the United States of Listeria, foodborne in the USA, home of Uncle Sam Manella, where they sure do eat a lot of dead animal body parts, and the Wall Street-backed corporate diet of death, disease, and destruction is shoved down your throat. This is Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. I know you're on the edge of your seat. The suspense is overwhelming. Last week, I told you I had a trial happening on Monday, the next day, now last Monday. And that I was going up against the rip-off royal scam of a red light camera ticket, courtesy of Daly City, California, and San Mateo County, whose businesses I now boycott, by the way, even though I won my case. Yes, call me Perry Mason. But I presented a number of reasons why my case should be dismissed, from the fact that Daly City and San Mateo County did not respond to my request for discovery, to looking at the contract between the city and Redflex, the scam company out of Arizona, who charges $6,000 rent per month per camera, but has a ripoff clause in it that if Daly City doesn't generate enough citations to meet the $6,000, the city doesn't have to pay the full amount, giving Redflex quite the incentive to churn out those tickets somehow, and maybe why the city has such short yellow lights, has canceled hundreds of tickets because it has been able to meet a schedule to where it is supposed to lengthen the yellow lights. I mean, if the city were really interested in safety, it would have longer yellow lights. If it's interested in picking your pocket, picking my pocket, the yellow lights are shorter. And Officer Gibberish did show up trying to pick my pocket of $400 because I supposedly drove through an intersection where the light was red for 8/10 of a second. Anyway, I asked for all sorts of data on the yellow lights and on the system maintenance and authentication of photos, which left Officer Gibberish speechless. And then I said that the trial itself was a violation of my constitutional rights, that the Sixth Amendment requires that I be able to confront my accuser, and how can I confront some camera out of Arizona? So, case dismissed. Ha! Huh, unbelievable. And I was highly motivated by the price tag. $400. That's $400 more than George Bush or Dick Cheney or Hillary Clinton have had to pay for getting us in an illegal war in Iraq. So as long as none of them have to pay, I really don't see why anyone should have to pay anything for traffic tickets or nonviolent offenses, and I told the judge I resented this rip-off royal scam. But then, everywhere you look, it seems there's a scam, in the I'm a progressive who gets things done, in the United States of Scam-America. And unfortunately, the scampaigns that the most unfortunate among us have to endure, especially in the scam animal rights industry, the so-called animal rights charities, you know? I mean, wasn't scampaigner Paul Shapiro, vice president of farm animal protection for a meat and rancher advocacy corporation known as the Humane Society of the United States. He was out there this week cheering that Walmart is putting the final nail in the coffin of cages for egg-laying hens by promising to go cage-free by 2025, no less, giving it plenty of time to renege. Mr. Shapiro fails to mention that every hen he is supposed to be protecting ends up in the coffin. All the males at birth, ground alive, were suffocated. All the females, after they are mutilated and harshly confined in the larger cages of packed warehouses and sheds. Yippee, say the animal rights people who celebrate the torture and murder of 100% of their supposed constituents. Yippee, says Josh Balk, HSUS egg salesman and inductee into the Animal Rights Hall of Shame, I mean Animal Rights Hall of Fame last year at the total scam known as the Animal Rights Conference, organized by scammers Farm USA, where animals have the right to be mutilated and killed by a cheering scam animal rights movement, which, you know, doesn't meet a scam it doesn't love, which can't say no to embracing the most hideous of scampaigns. And the usual cast of characters is at it again, as Farm USA this year can celebrate animals' rights to be organic meat. And what a scam that is, huh? You know, but I don't know. Anything to give people an excuse not to go vegan. And so animal betrayal specialists, HSUS, Mercy for Animals, Compassion Over Killing, Animal Legal Defense Fund, Animal Welfare Institute, Compassion in World Farming, Farm Sanctuary, and others are at it again, enabling industry, making eating meat, dairy, and eggs appealing. Gene Bauer, founder of Farm Sanctuary, was downright giddy when he tweeted, what did he tweet? He tweeted, USDA proposes historic welfare standards for animals raised under the organic label. Huh. You know, I mean, it's all so historic, isn't it? It's historic that Walmart promises cage-free eggs in 2025. It's all so historic for these groups who actually would serve animals better if they themselves were history, instead of finding ways to serve animals better on plates. So, you know, that's what the animal rights movement has become. Animals should have the right to be organic meat, right? FarmUSA.org. What a scam this is, huh? You know, I always thought this about the concept of organic meat and dairy and eggs. How is somebody organic? How is a living being, you know, organic? How is a sentient, feeling, thinking being organic? You know, I don't know. I eat a lot of organic food. I prefer to eat veganic. We'll talk about that in a second. And I don't know. I guess maybe to cannibals, I would fetch that higher price. You know, I'm vegan organic. But anyway, it was a scam right from the start, I thought. How can anybody believe that an animal or animal secretions are organic? You know, I guess it's because a sucker is born every day. People want to hear what they want to hear. And the Farm USA team of animal betrayal specialists is ready to tell it to them, you know, right from the start, you know. So, you know, it's, and actually right from the start, you know, regular cow's milk was being packaged as organic. there was a fraud for you. How would you know the difference, right? And there were people packaging regular body parts of animals and labeling them organic. Why not, right? I remember reporting on this very program many years ago that a farmer in Georgia was able to stamp organic on the chicken bodies he sold based on promising to build an outdoor porch in the future. So based on the promise of a future porch, he was stamping organic on the chickens he was killing in the present. So anyway, it's historic, and you know, you have the ASPCA involved with this, and it was, I guess, historic when the ASPCA, with the help of Farm Forward, with Bruce Friedrich at Farm Forward, it was historic when it put together a massive grant to a turkey farmer in Kansas to expand his operations. So now we have more historic history in front of us here on April 7th. The USDA, ASPCA put out a release. It might as well be the USDA. All of these groups might as well be. They are the USDA. What's the difference, huh? So under the headline, USDA proposes historic welfare standards for animals raised under the organic label. And I'm sure the animals appreciate as their throats are being slashed that they're so historic. So anyway, it says, today the U.S. Department of Agriculture, USDA National Organic Program released a long-awaited set of animal welfare standards for animals raised under the organic label. This is a historic move by the USDA. The announcement marks the first comprehensive set of regulations governing on-farm treatment of animals ever proposed by the federal government. The ASPCA has worked closely with policymakers and producers to get this rule drafted, and we applaud the National Organic Program's efforts. Oh, time for a break already. All right, we will continue with all of this historic nonsense on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. We continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, GoVeganRadio.com, examining this latest royal scam from the animal betrayal specialists, a number of those groups, including Farm Sanctuary. Oh, by the way, I've been accused by a number of weirdos on the internet. I'm accused, Professor Gary Francione, the World Vegan Summit and Expo are all being accused of promoting the consumption of meat, dairy, fish, and eggs, and supporting groups who sell out animals like Farm Sanctuary. And let me show you how much I'm supporting Farm Sanctuary right now in exposing this royal scam. As I mentioned, Gene Bauer, founder of Farm Sanctuary, and we'll get in. It's, you know, the same cast of characters. It's the same union of animal betrayal specialists involved with this one. So Gene Bauer tweeted gleefully, USDA proposes historic welfare standards for animals raised under the organic label. And we've been looking at the press release put out by the ASPCA, another one of those sellout groups. And in this release, it's saying, well, let's quote here. The proposed rule promises to correct the wide disparity between consumers' expectations regarding the quality of animal welfare under the organic label and the reality of what the USDA requires. So, you know, all this organic meat, dairy, you know, meat, dairy, and eggs, what a scam, huh? You know, people, oh, they don't go vegan. I buy the proper meat. I buy organic, and it's ridiculous. And so instead of these groups coming out and saying it's ridiculous, there are no standards, there can never be standards with the kind of demand that there is, instead the groups are backing this this promise. You know, and all right, so there's the promise. So the ASPCA says, a poll commissioned by the ASPCA found that at least 67% of organic consumers believe that animals raised organically have access to pasture and fresh air throughout the day, and that they have significantly more space to move than on conventional farms. Contrary to these perceptions, the organic program does not provide clear requirements for space or outdoor access. Considering that 40% of the value of the U.S. organic sales comes from meat, eggs, and dairy, strong welfare standards are critical to preserving consumer trust in the organic label. You know something? Don't trust the organic label, and don't trust it in the future. It's not going to be any better, but you'll have the royal scam. You'll have the animal rights seal of approval. You'll have the animal rights conference, animals having the right to be organic meat, and the public having the right to be deceived because, you know, wants to feel good about doing the wrong thing. So, you know, here we go with that. And it's unbelievable, isn't it? 40% of organic sales relate to meat, eggs, and dairy. I mean, I can understand produce being organic, but how somebody's body organic makes no sense. Flesh and blood and urine and... All right. So, what's the ASPCA saying? Though most organic farmers do meet a higher standard of welfare, in recent years, the exploding demand for organic foods has led growing numbers of large producers to begin raising animals in conditions virtually indistinguishable from factory farming. What do you expect? And demand is only going to grow. So, you know, how will conditions improve? Okay, whatever. So the ASPCA continues, this trend has been especially evident in the organic egg industry, where 2 out of every dozen organic eggs are produced in concentrated production facilities. How can you feel good about buying any organic product derived from animals? You can't. Okay. So it says here, USDA's 2014 organic production survey showed that the average number of animals per USDA organic farm is rising, presumably made possible by more crowded living conditions and more industrialized methods. From 2008 to 2014, the number of organic certified egg-laying hens more than doubled, yet the number of egg farms dropped. Each year that passed without strong animal welfare regulations in place gave these producers a stronger foothold in the organic market, undercutting higher welfare farmers. It's all a scam. It's a royal scam. Organic animal products. Come on. Let's get real here, okay? Join us at the World Vegan Summit and Expo. You can register at worldvegansummit.com. Professor Francione joins us after the top of the hour on Go Vegan Radio. This is Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com, on Twitter at Go Vegan Radio, Facebook, Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. We have a couple of Bob Linden pages on Facebook also, usually maxed out at 5,000 each, or sometimes you can get in there and be another one of my close friends. And we invite you to join us at the World Vegan Summit and Expo. Register now at worldvegansummit.com. And Professor Gary Francione will join us just after the top of the hour. We're going to talk about the financing of animal conferences. As I mentioned, there are some weirdos out there for some reason thinking that Professor Francione and I and the World Vegan Summit and Expo are supporting the consumption of meat, dairy, fish, and eggs. What do they think? Is it a subliminal message when I ask people to go vegan? When I say go vegan, is there a subliminal message underneath that saying eat meat, dairy, fish, and eggs? I don't quite get that. And then supposedly we're supporting these animal betrayal specialist groups. There must be a subliminal message, you know, when I'm talking about how awful it is that, you know, well, I'll mention them by name in a second after I get through this organic meat scam. Now, this is their latest scam. The subliminal message is support these groups because they do horrible things like scampaign for furnished battery cages, cage-free eggs, grass-fed beef, sustainable seafood, the five freedoms for animals that, you know, are impossible, you know, freedom from fear, distress, injury, pain, whatever. Just, it's all such nonsense. And, you know, but we are asked to believe in nonsense by the very people who should be the ones protecting the animals. But they're not. Right now, they're supporting this proposal that Gene Bauer of Farm Sanctuary says, is he gleefully tweets, USDA proposes historic welfare standards for animals raised under the organic label. And the ASPCA in a release says the proposed rule would, for the first time, specify minimum indoor and outdoor space and requirements for all species, etc. I hate to ruin it, but you know, when the animals are out on pasture, it's actually worse for the environment. You know, grass-fed animals produce up to 400% the methane of harshly confined animals. There are never any winners here. The animals are always the losers when we don't go vegan and we create these horrible excuses so that we can continue eating meat. So now the animal betrayal specialists see, oh, well, there are no standards. The animals are being treated like any other animals and getting stamped organic. Let's help organic sales by supporting this this scam, these promises. And who will enforce these promises, right? I mean, it's so ridiculous, like the Whole Foods humane meat campaigns. You know, it's like there's nobody to enforce them. There are no penalties if they're not enforced. You know, it's all so ridiculous. So the ASPCA joined in this scampaign with, I wait for the computer to go to that page for me so I can, well, of course, as I mentioned, the people who signed on to this, Farm Sanctuary. You know, that really makes the animals at Farm Sanctuary just basically fundraising props. It's like, hey, if the animals aren't here, our policies are, you know, eat them. Eat them. So the groups who are supporting this latest USDA scam for, you know, better treatment for animals so they can be stamped organic when you eat them. So the animals have the right to be organic meat, and I'm sure Farm USA will be happy to present all these people who support the, you know, at the animal rights conference that animals have the right to be organic meat. So obviously the ASPCA supports this because it sent out the release, but also the Animal Legal Defense Fund, Animal Welfare Institute, Compassion in World Farming, Compassion Over Killing, Farm Forward, I mentioned Farm Sanctuary, and of course the Humane Society of the United States, and Mercy for Animals. And then there are some others, but it's the usual cast of characters when it comes to animal betrayal and putting an animal rights stamp of approval on dead animals on their bodies, on their secretions. Who can understand why, right? Who? It's so ridiculous. But anyway, what was I looking for here? Oh, I wanted to, you know, I mean, it's so ridiculous that there be organic animal products. And to tell you the truth, I mean, in an ideal world, we would have veganic. Organic isn't perfect either. I mean, you know, there are a lot of things used in growing organic that I find objectionable, but apparently that's the standard. But when you come to the World Vegan Summit and Expo, there'll be a talk by Merlin Magic Reese, who is veganic, you know, that's vegan organic gardener and professional orchardist. And he's an educator. He's the head gardener since 1999 at Shangri-La, Gentle World's Vegan Education Center in New Zealand. He's co-founder of the Far North Organics Association in New Zealand and former organic inspection certifier. And so he'll make a presentation at the World Vegan Summit and Expo on growing your food veganically, which is better than organic. Please do join us at the World Vegan Summit and Expo. It will be an amazing experience. Oh, this is so crazy. So we have Food Not Bombs there, Keith McHenry and Abby Samuels. So these weirdos on the internet are they're criticizing me for having Food Not Bombs there because somebody I criticize, HSUS groupie Will Potter, who seems to be against free speech, oddly enough, because he complimented Food Not Bombs, and I criticize Will Potter. I'm being criticized for having Food Not Bombs there. It doesn't make a lot of sense. I know there are some strange people out there making weird accusations. Anyway, when you join us at the World Vegan Summit and Expo, Food Not Bombs will be there. Also, Paul Rodney Turner of Food for Life, which is the largest vegan food relief organization, and Karen Hamza will be there, Angel Hands for the Homeless, again, feeding vegan food to the homeless and to their companion animals. Delta Farrington will be at our event. She's the owner of Eco Dogs and Cats, making a presentation on the world of vegan products now available for dogs and cats. And Eric Weissman will be there, who is the creator of Evolution Dog and Cat Food, vegan dog and cat food. It's an amazing event we have planned for July 29th, 30th, and 31st on the campus of the University of California in Berkeley. You can go to worldvegansummit.com. Of course, Professor Francione will be there, and Anna Charlton, and we'll be talking about the abolitionist approach to animal rights. And really, this is the vegan conference. It's not, you know, the rights of animals to be organic meat or, you know, be cage-free hens or whatever it might be. It's an amazing roster of speakers we have there. Vaidya Priyanka, she's a health practitioner from a 700-year lineage of Ayurvedic women healers from India. And so we will see how veganism and Ayurvedic complement each other and why she thinks that dairy is filth. Let's see. So we're very supportive of vegan businesses. Mike Weinberg, educator, founder of Vegan Diego, will be there doing a presentation on his support model for vegan restaurants and businesses. Yes, please support vegan restaurants and businesses. Marlene Watson Tara and Bill Tara will be there, really pioneers in macrobiotic, and they have an interesting presentation on the regarding the Human Ecology Project on food and politics and environment, human slavery, social justice, and animal rights, and Then Marlene will do a macrobiotic food demonstration there. Professor Gary Steiner will be there of Bucknell University, a graduate of UC Berkeley. So he'll be doing interesting talks on animals in Western civilization and animals as persons. Peace Mom Cindy Sheehan will be there. Who else? Anuj Shah from Speaking of Vegan. Antenna Roba, MD, president of the International Fund for Africa, will be there. He'll be we'll have his reflections on his visit to the slave dungeons of West Africa and meaning for today of that, as well as a presentation on the climate change, the environmental devastation happening now in Africa because of your food choices. We will have Janelle Palacio and her daughter Genesis Palacio, who are members of the family of Cesar Chavez. Of course, we will do a salute to Cesar Chavez, the great vegan social justice activist. We have Professor David Niebert, who will be there, professor of sociology at Wittenberg University. His presentation will be, what will it be? It'll be From Genghis Khan to Wall Street, Oppression of Other Animals, War, and Capitalism. Oh, this is such an interesting event, isn't it? Dr. Milton Mills will be there. His presentation on the scientific evidence. Humans are herbivores, not carnivores, not omnivores. And also on the traditional diets of Africa. You don't want to miss this. Dr. John McDougall. And it's just amazing. All right, we'll continue. It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Register now at worldvegansummit.com. Continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com, on Twitter at Go Vegan Radio, Facebook, Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, then there are the Bob Linden pages, then there's WorldVeganSummit.com. We hope you'll register for our event. I mean, of course, you can waste your money and go to the scam so-called Animal Rights Conference in Los Angeles in early July and go applaud new organic standards for dead animal bodies, and go applaud that applaud corporations like Walmart committing to cage-free eggs in 2025, or whatever, grass-fed beef, whatever scam you like, it's there. SeaWorld, now a great family destination, according to one of the groups speaking at the animal, whatever it is, animal rights conference, animal R-I-T-E-S conference, or you can join us in Berkeley, July 29th, 30th, and 31st, where our mission is to help everyone go vegan. We don't have time to do anything else to cheer cage-free eggs in 10 years or whatever, you know, when animal agriculture is the number one cause of climate change and is responsible for at least 51% of human-caused greenhouse gas emissions. I think it's rather important that we help people go vegan rather than farmers make more money, ranchers make more money by stamping their products organic and saying, look, oh, the animal rights people support us. But when you come to our event in Berkeley, worldvegansummit.com, there'll be people there like Helen Harwat, PhD. She's a research fellow at Loma Linda University, Sustainability Research Institute, School of Earth and Environment, formerly research fellow, University of Leeds in the UK. And she will be talking about food choices, public health, and the environment. Very knowledgeable on the issues related to climate change. This is where it's happening. Oh, we'll have Sid Garza-Hillman there. He's a nutritionist and program director at the Center for Living Well at the Stanford Inn, which is in Mendocino. That's America's first vegan eco-resort. Sid Garza-Hillman will be there, as I mentioned. Of course, well, Professor Gary Francione and Anna Charlton will be there. Sue Coe, artist, illustrator. Her books include Dead Meat, Sheep of Fools, Pitt's Letter, Cruel, Bearing Witness to Animal Exploitation, Paintings and Drawings. She will have an art exhibit at the World Vegan Summit and Expo, The Art of Compassion. Tamira Dyson will be there. She's the owner of Solely Vegan Restaurant in Oakland. Amanda Benham will be there talking about vegan nutrition for healthy children of all ages. She'll give us a B12 update. Michael Bedar will be there, author of Sweet Healing. He was the producer of the documentary Simply Raw, Reversing Diabetes in 30 Days. It's going to be an amazing event. We'll have great music there. A special video presentation by Chris Hedges. Of course, you know who Chris Hedges is. And we will have comedy from the hilarious Mike Kaplan, a comedian who has appeared on The Tonight Show, David Letterman, Comedy Central, Last Comic Standing, America's Got Talent. He has a CD, Vegan Mind Meld. He'll be there. We'll have reggae music from L'Amour and the Mystic Band. Just a fantastic time. Jillian Love, a raw vegan chef, will do a food demonstration there. We have Ara Mardrosian, who is with the he's the executive director of the Sequoia Forest Keeper, when we talk about our water crisis. We have Benjamin McKellen, who will be there. He's author of A Cut Closer to Whole, we'll explore transsexual and vegan intersectionality. Andy Mars with activities for the kids. I mean, it's really quite amazing what will be happening, and you don't want to miss this event. Jeff Purs will be there from Australia, vegan activist and writer. Todd Schumann, director of Wasteful Unreasonable Use, also on the water crisis. Please be with us. It's register now while the prices are as low as can be at worldvegansummit.com. worldvegansummit.com. Professor Gary Francione coming up next. Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com. We are live Sundays, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Pacific Time. We are syndicated by the Genesis Communications Network, GCNLive.com. And we have a call-in number if you want to join the discussion coming up here with Professor Gary Francione. The call-in number is 855-660-4261. And it's been an interesting week. Somehow I've seen out there on the internet that Professor Francione and the World Vegan Summit and Expo and I have been accused of supporting the consumption of meat, dairy, fish, and eggs, and supporting various groups whom we regard as sellouts, like Farm Sanctuary and PETA. So the chance of this being accurate is zero, but it gets out there, you know. For example, we had a vendor at the World Vegan Summit and Expo that was a home delivery of organic produce, and that's what we were promoting. And then we found out in the fine print pages into the website that it was offering also delivery of cage-free eggs. And our policy is vegan products and vegan companies, so I immediately ended that relationship on the website. And but people are still complaining that just the fact that, you know, we had them as a vendor, even though we didn't know about the eggs, you know, that it, and somebody else was chiming in saying, hey, look, well, they saw that there was a an error and they corrected it. What's the big deal? But there are people out there who want to complain, and a lot of people want to, I don't know, just make some noise, especially where Professor Francione is concerned. I, you know, think because he, his position is very strong on veganism and that it's a moral baseline. And so, you know, I mean, if that offends you, sorry, I don't think it offends the animals. And so I believe that Professor Francione wanted to chime in on the subject of the financing of animal conferences and vegan conferences and all. And how are you today, Professor Francione?
Veganism as a moral baseline can cause psychological harm and abuse to people who disagree with that and who believe that promoting animal exploitation is okay. So you have, let's just be clear about that, Bob. Promoting veganism as a moral baseline, promoting animal rights, can cause psychological harm, devastating psychological harm, to people who disagree with you. But
it's the most basic, though. You know what I mean? I mean, it's like, it's just, that's the number one precept, basically. It's number one.
It's 2016. These are crazy times, and we see this manifesting itself in all sorts of ways. I mean, look, I think there are some interesting questions about, you know, where you draw the line on what constitutes support for stuff you don't want to support. I mean, for example, an issue that I get asked a lot, or a discussion that I'm often asked to comment on, is when people say things like, well, we shouldn't buy products of Corporation X, because even though Corporation X is selling vegan, you know, the company is selling only vegan stuff, that company is owned by a parent company that is not vegan. Well, you know, look, all money is dirty. And so even if you have a company that is not owned by a parent that is not vegan, you can have a situation where the company is completely vegan, not owned by a non-vegan parent, but where that company employs people who may not all be vegan. So you're buying the products of that vegan company, not owned by the non-vegan parent, and that's putting money into the pockets of people who work for the vegan company and who go out and buy non-vegan items. So, I mean, this is the problem. I mean, you know, animal exploitation is pervasive. No money is clean. And so, you know, you can have a situation, I mean, you know, you can have, there's no way to sort of have it be exactly the way you want it to be, because animal exploitation is pervasive, and you can't really sort of cut it off in any particularly, I mean, you can't, you simply can't. I mean, for example, I will eat, if I have a choice of eating at a vegan restaurant or eating vegan at a non-vegan restaurant, I generally choose to eat at the vegan restaurant because I want to support vegan businesses. It's not that I think that there's anything particularly wrong about choosing to eat vegan in a non-vegan restaurant, because, you know, you can be eating at the vegan restaurant and the person who's serving you may not be a vegan, and you're that person's being employed by the vegan restaurant and is using the money that that person is earning to buy non-vegan products. I mean, you simply can't clear up every mess that we have to deal with as a result of pervasive speciesism. Now, let's talk a little bit about conferences and organizations supporting animal exploitation. This is my view on this. I think that an animal rights conference ought not to be supporting groups that promote happy exploitation, reducitarianism, things of that nature. I think that's a very bad idea, because we've got to shift the paradigm. And the only way we shift the paradigm is by making it clear that those organizations, the organizations that, you know, that have as a central campaign position promoting happy exploitation and reducitarianism and things like that, we've got to make it clear that that's simply not acceptable, because that constitutes animal exploitation. So we shouldn't be promoting those groups. And I'm assuming that the World Vegan Summit, and by the way, can you please make clear, I don't have anything to do with
you're blamed. Yes, you're being blamed for the egg sales of that the produce delivery service. You're being blamed for everything. And you have Professor Francione has nothing to do with the sponsorships, vendors.
The bottom line is, the people who are saying those things are simply dishonest, and they know they're intentionally, deliberately dishonest. It's not that they're making mistakes; they know that's the case, but they're being dishonest. So neither of us can do anything about that. But I think it's important not to be supporting those organizations, not to be promoting those organizations. I mean, let me say, I wouldn't have any problem. I mean, I remember having these discussions with animal groups in the 1990s. You know, we were talking about, should we accept funding from people that we disagree with? And the answer is, my view then was, accept support. Take the money from anybody who will give it to you. No money is clean. As long as you don't have to promote them, go ahead and accept their support. I mean, it's going to be problematic in the sense that many times people who give you money want something in return. It's very unusual that someone's going to give you support who, you know, doesn't want something in return. But I mean, assuming for purposes of argument that people don't want anything in return, they're willing, they like what you're doing. They do things you don't agree with. They like what you're doing, and they want to give you money. Fine, just don't promote them if they do things that you don't agree with, if they take positions you don't agree with. But
it's unlikely that we're going to be getting money from a number of these groups, and they will not be there. I mean, I'm being accused of supporting Farm Sanctuary because, the person who's conducting children's activities in his literature somewhere mentioned that they go visit Farm Sanctuary. And, you know, these groups, they have benign public images, and people often don't know about how they're betraying animals.
Precisely because of the con job they get sold to us by these new welfarist intersectionalist groups, a lot of people don't really understand what groups like Farm Sanctuary are about. But the bottom line is, we shouldn't be promoting groups like Farm Sanctuary, Mercy for Animals, or groups that sort of directly promote those groups in a systematic way, or make them a main focus of what they promote. We shouldn't be promoting those organizations.
But the intention is actually to talk about what's wrong with them, so people understand that that's a separate movement from us.
Nor should we be promoting organizations that are selling animal products. I mean, this was my objection to the Intersectionalist Justice Conference that was being organized by the staff writer over at Vegan Publishers, Christopher Sebastian McJetters. This was my objection to that conference, was that they were promoting Vegan Outreach, which is an organization that promotes happy exploitation and that is hostile to veganism as a moral baseline, and they were promoting a store, the Star Store, that sells meat, dairy, fish, eggs, leather, wool, all sorts of animal products. As a matter of fact, the Star Store doesn't even promote veganism as a sort of a one thing among many others. As far as I can tell, it's just basically a store that sells a lot of animal products. They gave money to this Intersectionalist Justice Conference, and they were being promoted. I think that's terrible. And I don't think, I mean, the same argument I had about VegFest. VegFest was, you know, they had...
This is VegFest UK, right? There are so many VegFests, but you're talking about VegFest UK? Is this what you're...
Yeah, VegFest UK. Mm-hmm. They had the Humane Society International at the February conference. I mean, that's just astounding. Humane Society International is not only part of the Humane Society of the United States, but it's an arm of the Humane Society of the United States, but they've got their own Happy Meat label, and VegFest had them there and was promoting them. I think that that's just not acceptable. Now, if you've got an organization that does not promote happy exploitation, but mentions, for example, Farm Sanctuary, that's obviously not something that, you know, that's different, frankly, from promoting vegan outreach and a store that sells meat, dairy, eggs, butter, leather, wool, etc. It's different.
And but I still want to discourage it. You know, I still want
to try to educate those people about why. What was the group that they're upset about? What's the
Farm Sanctuary?
No, I know the Farm Sanctuary, but it was the
person doing kids camp. We need to take a break. We'll continue with Professor Gary Francione on this subject. The call-in number is 855-660-4261. This is Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com. On Twitter at Go Vegan Radio, Facebook, Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. There are two other Bob Linden pages on Facebook to make sure I do things in triplicate and that I'm not effective at anything other than hopefully organizing the World Vegan Summit and Expo. And we'd like you to join us there. July 29th, 30th, and 31st, go to worldvegansummit.com. We're on the campus of the University of California in Berkeley. Before the break, Professor Francione, we were talking about, you were asking about the organizer of children's activities at the World Vegan Summit and Expo, Dr. Andy Mars, who is the director of vegancamp.org and vegankids.org. And people are yelling at me because in his literature, he talks about visiting Farm Sanctuary, which of course would make sense in the real world. You know, a Farm Sanctuary, how bad could that be until you look into its policies of supporting enriched cages and being part of the whole humane meat movement. And just this past week, Gene Bauer cheering that the USDA is proposing historic welfare standards for animals raised under the organic label, along with the usual cast of characters. It's like that letter that you always cite regarding Peter Singer. There's another one just this past week, and they're all there, just loving that animals have the right to become organic meat. But anyway,
oh, Bob, so Bob, please send me that so I can post it. Please send me that. I was away last week, so I missed that. So please send that to me. But you know, yeah. Look, I think there's a qualitative difference between an organization, you know, between promoting an organization like Farm Sanctuary and somebody like Andy Mars, you know, making reference to going to Farm Sanctuary. I mean, I know Andy. I don't know what he knows or doesn't know about Farm Sanctuary, but a lot of people just don't, they don't really, I mean, many people, including a lot of people who have been around for a while, are always surprised when I post the, you know, I mean, it's very rare that I post that Peter Singer letter from 2005, which actually inaugurated the happy exploitation movement, where, you know, Singer signs on behalf of PETA, Farm Sanctuary, Vegan Outreach, Compassion Over Killing, Viva, a number of other organizations, you know, signs basically expressing appreciation and support for the, quote, pioneering, end quote, system of happy exploitation adopted by Whole Foods. And every time I post that, I get some feedback from people, some of whom have been around for a while, who say, gee, you know, that's really shocking. I'm just shocked to see that. And so people don't really know. And there's obviously a qualitative difference between promoting a group like Vegan Outreach or promoting a group like Farm Sanctuary and promoting someone who mentions Farm Sanctuary. I mean, obviously, we need to educate people, and, you know, we ought to be educating everyone about what these organizations are doing in terms of they're being counterproductive, they're promoting immoral positions, and they're promoting positions which, excuse me, are counterproductive. But there's clearly a difference. I mean, and only someone who really was engaged in just bad faith would say that, you know, Andy's mentioning Farm Sanctuary is similar to promoting Farm Sanctuary. I mean, it just doesn't make sense. And I don't really know anybody who would, I mean, that's just a position of, that's just a bad faith position to take.
Yeah. I suppose, although I guess I kind of cringe myself because I don't want to be part of the process, you know.
Excuse me, choking it. I think it's important to talk to Andy and, you know, to point that out to him. And I think it, you know, but look, I mean, with respect to the organization that was selling eggs, you know, it was called to your attention. You did something about it. I mean, that's different from, you know, with the Intersectional Justice Conference. I mean, it was pointed out to them time and time and time and time and time and time and time again that they had as a, not only a sponsor, but they were promoting a store that, as far as I can tell, wasn't promoting veganism at all. It was just a store that sold, it looked like high end, you know. I mean, it looked like a. I mean, I don't really know much about the store, but I mean, they were basically selling meat, dairy, eggs, cheese, fish, butter, leather, all sorts of stuff. And it was pointed out to them, and they persisted in having that group not only as a sponsor, but in promoting them. You did something about it when it was pointed out to you. I have to say this: I do think there's a difference between sponsors and vendors. I mean, I think
Hold that thought. It's time for another break. We will continue with Professor Gary Francione. If you want to join the conversation, the phone number is 855-660-4261. It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, goveganradio.com. Linden at goveganradio.com, on Twitter at goveganradio, Facebook Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, and we invite you to join us at the World Vegan Summit and Expo July 29th, 30th, and 31st on the campus of the University of California in Berkeley. And we thank Dixie May for her generous donation in support of the event. Dixie making the donation in the name of her loving husband of 56 years, Stan May, who died last year at the age of 90. They were married for 56 years, and Dixie has been vegan for 57 years. So maybe that's why you have somebody in her early 80s dancing around and having a great time in life right now. So join us there. I'm sure we can coerce Dixie to come over the Bay Bridge from San Francisco, and you can say hi to her there. We were talking about vendors and sponsors with Professor Gary Francione. His Facebook page is The Abolitionist Approach to Animal Rights. And let's see. Okay. I think,
Bob, I wanted to make a distinction between, by the way, thank you for sending me the letter signed by Mercy for Animals, Compassion Over Killing. Compassion Over Killing, Farm Sanctuary, Compassion in World Farming, Farm Forward, and other pro-animal exploitation organizations.
HSUS is on there, of course.
Of course, in favor of the animal welfare standards for organic foods. In any event, you're right. It's very similar to the Whole Foods letter that Singer sent. But I want to make a distinction between sponsors that you're promoting and vendors. If someone buys a table and they're selling vegan chocolate, but they have a company that also makes non-vegan chocolates, as long as you're not promoting that company, they're just selling their vegan product, then I think as long as you have a disclaimer that you're not supporting those organizations. I mean, the problem I had with what was going on at VegFest was they had people there who were actually selling things, non-vegan things. Now, VegFest UK claimed that they were not aware of that, although it seemed to be happening. It seemed to be happening, or it was reported happening, frequently. If in fact that's true, that they were not aware that that was going on. Well, if they say they weren't aware, that's fine. But I think.
But didn't they shut them down? I mean, the first vegan event I did in Los Angeles, World Fest, we had a vendor there who was discovered to have gelatin, you know, like these gummy bear things or whatever. So we just shut the booth down once we found out, you know, the products weren't vegan.
I really don't know what VegFest UK did or didn't do. All I know is that people were complaining about that, and VegFest UK claimed that, you know, they were not aware of it. I don't know what they did or didn't do. But, I mean, that's a problem when you are, when you have people there who are selling non-vegan products.
Well, that defeats the whole purpose. That's
right.
And the thing is, I am going the one step further, though, I'm only allowing vendors whose companies are completely vegan. Call me crazy, because it obviously cuts.
I think it's great that you're doing more. I'm saying that I would not have a problem with having a vendor there who wasn't exclusively vegan, as long as the products they were selling were vegan. See, the issue is we have to educate people about the importance of veganism from an abolitionist perspective. And I'm all in favor of showing people who manufacture some vegan products that there's a really good market out there for those vegan products. And as long as we are not promoting their non-vegan products, we're not promoting them. We are saying, look, we disclaim we have nothing to do with these organizations. They are here selling vegan products. That is what they are obligated to do, is to sell vegan. You know, they're here to sell only vegan products. What else they do, we don't know. We want them to all be vegan. We want the whole world to be vegan. I'm glad you're taking the additional steps. But I'm saying that I don't have a problem if VegFest has vendors there, as they do, who are selling vegan products but who are not exclusively vegan. If that's what VegFest UK wants to do, I don't have a problem with that. The problem I have is when they have vendors there who are selling non-vegan products at the vegan event.
Doesn't make sense.
Again, I think we've got to remember where this is coming from. I mean, some of the criticism is coming from somebody who wrote about this person and about how this person was promoting Mercy for Animals, was showing Mercy for Animals videos, and was promoting organizations that have Mercy for Animals on every single page, and other new welfarist organizations. If somebody like that wants to say that, Andy's mentioning that he went to Farm Sanctuary is similar, well, then that person simply does not understand analogical reasoning. But, I mean, again, I think it's important. You know, I think it's important for us to be clear on, we can't really, if we're going to be consistent about this, we cannot be promoting organizations that directly promote happy exploitation, reducitarianism, etc. And but there is a huge difference between doing that or showing Mercy for Animals videos, at your events, or promoting organizations on your page that have Mercy for Animals and other new welfareist organizations on basically every page of their promotional materials. There's a huge difference between that and somebody saying, I took some kids to Farm Sanctuary. I think it's important. I mean, frankly, I think we ought to try to educate everybody, including Andy, that you ought not to be taking kids to Farm Sanctuary. I mean, I think Farm Sanctuary is giving the wrong message to everybody, including kids.
Mm-hmm. So, well, the animals are just fundraising props there, considering their policies for the animals outside the gates.
Look, Farm Sanctuary is a glorified petting zoo, is what it is. And it is. And I would not promote them. And I really don't think it's a good idea for anybody to take anybody there, because I think that organization sends the wrong message. But I think also we have to realize something, that there's a real animosity. I mean, look, the bottom line is the abolitionist movement is growing, and without basically any organizational structure, it is totally grassroots. It's growing all over the place, and I think this is upsetting people. And so you see these sorts of reactions, and people attacking you, attacking me, attacking. I mean,
And it's been very strange. I mean, you mentioned VegFest UK, and that's Tim Barford, and he's writing me and saying everything you say on Facebook is being monitored by the police, there'll be a Guardian article about this. Watch what you're saying. This is the same. I mean, as I recall, they have a vegan certified stamp that they put on certain food labels. But as I mentioned, when Tim was a guest on the show many months back, that certified vegan is being put on food labels that also say may contain fish or may contain eggs. You know, so I mean, it's like, what's that about? How are you criticizing me if you're vegan certified may contain fish? I don't understand.
Well, I mean, look, expecting consistency and integrity from these folks is asking a little too much. I mean, it's just the way it is. I mean, you know, this is a business for these folks, and you know, they get upset when we criticize what they're doing, and I'm happy to engage. I mean, see, the thing is, I'm happy to engage it if it's good faith. The problem is that when people are claiming that, that what you're doing is promoting animal exploitation, and criticizing you when you find out that somebody is selling animal products, and you say, I don't want you involved with the World Vegan Summit, and they persist in attacking you, that's simply a lack of good faith. That's simply dishonesty.
It is. It's dishonest. It's misrepresentation. It's like, it's not that he removed it. They go, it's not that he removed it. It's that it was there in the first place at all. You know what I mean? It's like, not allowed to make a mistake. Not allowed. I have to know everything. You know what I mean? I have to know everybody, what everybody has said in life, every link that they've ever clicked. You know what I mean? That's apparently, that's my responsibility here.
That's so. Exactly right. But you know, look, you can't, you're not going to please everybody, and the World Vegan Summit is the only national conference that promotes veganism as a moral baseline and a moral imperative. The abolitionist vegan movement is mushrooming in terms of. I mean, I was away for a few days. I come back to like 1,400 emails. It is out of control. The interest in abolitionist veganism is growing. It's an idea that makes a lot of sense to people. And there are a lot of folks out there who are very upset about that, don't want that to be the case, but they can't stop it. So they try every way they can, but it's not going to work. And the World Vegan Summit is going to be a wonderful event. I mean, I'm very excited about it, and I'm very, very excited about it. And I think that we've got a whole bunch of things planned. In terms of workshops for folks to learn about vegan advocacy. We're going to have a presentation on intersectionality, on non-speciesist intersectionality, as opposed to the speciesist intersectionality that we're seeing frequently these days, very, very disturbingly. And, you know, so I think it's going to be a great conference. And I commend you for being as scrupulous as you're being in terms of the sponsors and vendors that you're having.
Well, I take veganism seriously. You know, it's like...
It's really curious how these folks with their acrimonious, dishonest criticisms, why aren't they calling in now to have discussions about this? Why aren't they commenting?
Yeah, I don't know. It's time to take a break. The number, if you want to get in the last few minutes, it's 855-660-4261. We did lose one of the callers who, I guess, got off and wanted to listen to us talk. So we'll continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. GoVeganRadio.com. Register at WorldVeganSummit.com. Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com, Twitter at GoVeganRadio, Facebook, GoVeganRadio with Bob Linden. You can join us at the World Vegan Summit and Expo. Go to WorldVeganSummit.com. Thanks for support from Vegetarian House, 100% vegan restaurant, 520 East Santa Clara Street in San Jose, one of the best vegan restaurants in the world. I love it if you're coming to the Bay Area for our big event. You'll want to set aside some time and head over there. Check out the menu at vegetarianhouse.us and Vegetarian House Caters. We're talking to Professor Gary Francione, and we have Charles in Oakland on the line calling in. Welcome, Charles. How are you today?
Hey, can you guys hear me okay?
Yes.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. So, Mr. Linden, I'm trying to understand why you knowingly promoted websites with animal products on World Vegan Summit webpage for over 7 weeks after I brought it to your attention back in the beginning of December. So I brought it to your attention, and then I heard a response from you the next day indicating, oh, I'm really disappointed. World Vegan Summit doesn't promote companies with any animal products, and you continue to promote select teas with honey teas as well.
I did not promote select tea with honey. I didn't say go buy select tea with honey.
You promoted select tea as a business as well as Nature's Foods, which had
Nature's Flavors. Thank you. So when I was introduced to that company by a vegan grocery store, I was introduced to that company as it being completely vegan. All its products were vegan. That was what the company representative said. And so I went by the word of the company. I had the president of the company as a guest on the show. He heard me say all products were vegan.
Right, that's great. And then you alerted
me by going through the website and I guess looking at the 10,000 products and seeing that three of them were not vegan. And then
it doesn't matter that it's only three of them, Bob.
No, it doesn't. Of course it doesn't.
Okay, great.
That's correct.
And so
that's
why
correct.
Did you continue to promote those businesses for over 7 weeks after I brought to your attention?
Well, because I wanted to clarify that those
no,
products
no, no.
were still
as for sale. As soon as you know that a company has animal products, you remove promoting that business. You stop promoting that business. That's what you do. And you continued promoting those businesses for over 7 weeks. Now, if you...
So I hope none of my listeners bought any of the three products that you're mentioning.
No, and when I found out, when I found,
no,
Professor
Charles,
Gary,
thank you.
You don't know that.
Yeah, I appreciate
what do
that.
I
you
know? What do I know, Charles?
So Professor Francione, if you knew, if I brought to your attention, let's say you had You are promoting Nature's Flavors and select teas on your website, and I brought it to your attention today that select teas had products with animal products, and Nature's Flavors had animal products as well. What would you do? Would you continue to promote those businesses?
Wait, Charles, can I answer the question, sir?
You can answer that.
I would do is I would contact, if the company represented to me that it was vegan.
Okay, wait a minute, but you're jumping ahead here. Let me finish asking my question.
Would you continue to promote those animal products?
Would you continue to promote those businesses after I had pointed out to you that even if you weren't sure? If you weren't sure, would you continue to promote those businesses? Really?
Thank you, Charles. We get your point. As soon as I clarified with the company that those products were still for sale, not discontinued, I ended the relationship. So that was it. Basically,
which is why you're not promoting select teas, correct?
Right. Yeah.
This is the sort of insanity that we deal with people.
Thank you, Charles. Talk to you later. It
is inappropriate when a company is represented that it's a vegan company and you have a relationship with these people and they represent to you that they're vegan and you see and someone calls something to your attention, you get in touch with the people who have represented that they're vegan.
And they had a change of personnel and there was a bit of a delay, but I didn't know that their products were still for sale. Okay, we'll talk again next week. Thanks for listening. Go vegan. Don't consume animal products.